are gone. So this is our ongoing responsibility. It's very easy to just pack our bags and start our own movement of some sort, or join some other. But that's not Prabhupada's instruction, so we have to take it. If we actually love him, then we will tolerate the difficulties in working with each other. After all, this is the age of quarrel, so the whole atmosphere is filled with quarrel. It's not that we can see that just by living in this world, everybody's so much in anxiety that they're ready to quarrel over practically nothing. If someone goes ahead in the line, you know, that's it. You know, I mean, it's practically intolerable how someone could go ahead of me in line, or sometimes if we're waiting for a traffic light to turn green and the car in front of us doesn't go right away, so we become, sometimes people become furious. They can't, because they might be a few minutes late to something for sense gratification, so they become very angry. So this is not a very peaceful age. It's an ocean of faults. Kalir dosha nide rajan asti yeku mahagana kirtanade vikrishnasya mukta sangha parambraja. But there is one good quality, and that is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. By chanting this, one can reach perfection very easily. So if we practice chanting, then we'll be able to live peacefully in this world, not only with the devotees, but with the non-devotees also. We'll be able to live peacefully with them. Because Krishna in their heart will give them directions. Or sometimes the demons or the non-devotees, they do cause trouble. Like in the case of Vasudeva and Devaki. Kamsa put them in prison. But because they were absorbed in thinking of Krishna all the time, they tolerated. Okay, next.
Angira. He is one of the six mental sons of Brahma and the father of Brihaspati, the great learned priest of the demigods and the heavenly planets. He was born of the semen of Brahmaji, given to the cinder of fire. Utatya and Sangvarta are his sons. It is said that he is still performing austerity and chanting the holy name of the Lord at a place known as Alokananda on the banks of the Ganges. Parashurama, see Srimad Bhagavatam 196. Utatya, one of the three sons of Maharaj Angira. He was the spiritual master of Maharaj Mandata. He married Bhadra, the son of Soma, moon. Varuna kidnapped his wife, Bhadra, and retaliated the offense of the god of water. He drank all the water. Oh, and to retaliate the offense of the god of water, he drank all the water of the world. Medhatiti. An old sage of yore, an assembly member of the heavenly king Indradev, his son was Kanvamuni, who brought up Shakuntala in the forests. He was promoted to the heavenly planet by strictly following the principles of retired life, vanaprastha. Devala. A great authority like Narada Muni and Vyasadeva, his good name is on the list of authorities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna acknowledged Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He met Maharaj Yudhishthira after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and he was the elder brother of Daumya, the priest of the Pandava family. Like the Kshatriyas, he also allowed his daughters to select her own husband in the Swayamvara meeting, and at that ceremony all the bachelor sons of the rishis were invited. According to some, he is not a Sita Devala. Bharadwaj, see Srimad Bhagavatam 196. Gautama, one of the seven sages of the universe, Sharadvan Gautama was one of his sons. Persons in the Gautama Gotra dynasty today are either his family descendants or in his disciplic succession. The Brahmanas who professed Gautama Gotra were generally family descendants, and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas who profess Gautama Gotra are all in the line of his disciplic succession. He was the husband of the famous Ahalya, who turned into stone when Indradev, the king of heaven, molested her. Ahalya was delivered by Lord Ramachandra. Gautama was the grandfather of Kripacharya, one of the heroes of the battle of Kurukshetra. Finally, Maitreya, a great rishi of yore. He was spiritual master of Vidura and a great religious authority. He advised Dhritarashtra to keep good relations with the Pandavas. Duryodhan disagreed and thus was cursed by him. He met Vyasadeva and had religious discourses with him.
Well, it's interesting to see how an ordinary, apparently a king, like Maharaj Parikshit, was so honored by all the greatest sages in the whole universe that they came. And also that the sages were traveling from planet to planet. They weren't only on this planet. They sometimes went to higher planets. Especially personalities like Narad Muni, they're always traveling, and Angira or Devala. It shows that Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, and a great devotee is honored. It is said, Acharyavan Purusho Veda, Acharyamam Bijaniyam Navamanyeta Karichit, the Macha Buddhya Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayoguru. The Acharya, or the spiritual master, is to be honored as much as Krishna. Krishna says, this is a verse spoken by the Lord. He said, because he's not to be disrespected in any way, because he's the sum total of all the demigods. So we can see that Maharaj Parikshit, as a Vaishnava, he was a great king, but he could only be a great king if he was a Vaishnava, because without being a great king, how could he be a, or excuse me, without being a great Vaishnava, how could he be a great king? What is the purpose of being a king? The purpose is to instill in the public the conception of God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. How can one be a good father unless he's a devotee? Guru na sasyat, so jano na sasyat, amati na sasyat, jani na sasyat. No one should become a father, a mother, a husband, a king, or a guru unless he can deliver namartya samupetu mrityu, unless he can deliver the dependence from the cycle of birth and death, he shouldn't become any kind of a leader. There's a big responsibility when one takes a position of some authority, because he has to behave in such a way. That's why we see that even today, if someone takes a position of guru and he cannot deliver his dependents, then it becomes a big disturbance in society. Therefore, one should be very careful. One should not become a teacher. For example, we have so many colleges, universities, high schools, unless they can deliver them from the cycle of birth and death, the students. But unfortunately, which teachers are willing to take responsibility for delivering their students from birth and death? Who could do that? Which teachers themselves are going to be delivered from the cycle of birth and death? Now we'll read the purport to text 11.
The system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superiors is an excellent etiquette which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. Even the first grade offender is excused simply by this process. And Maharaj Parikshit, although honored by all the rishis and kings, welcomed all the big men in that humble etiquette in order to be excused from any offenses. Generally, at the last stage of one's life, this humble method is adopted by every sensible man in order to be excused before departure. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit implored everyone's goodwill for going back home, back to Godhead.
Can you think of any first grade offenders that became excused by this process? Bowing your head. Microphone. There's Devasa Muni with Ambarish. Yes, Devasa Muni, he became excused by bowing his head. In fact, he was advised to do that by Vishnu and Shiva, all the higher authorities advised him, there's nothing we can do to save you, even Vishnu. Therefore, if one makes a big offense, but if he bows down, then he can be relieved.
Anyone else? Another one, Indra?
Oh, we'll have another. All
right.
Pass on. Let everyone come up with them.
Bali Maharaj? Because.
Bali Maharaj?
Wasn't he fighting against the demigods, and then finally he bowed his hand for Krishna to put it?
Well, yes, he said to Vamadev, you can put your foot on my head. So I guess, yes, he's also taking that position.
The personality of Kali.
That's right, even Kali is a good example. Kali was so horrible, but still, when Parikshit was about to kill him, he bowed down and begged for forgiveness. So, yes?
Jagai Madai?
Jagai Madai, yes. Lord Chaitanya was about to kill them. He was invoking his Sudarshan Chakra, and they had the good sense to beg for forgiveness, and he forgave. Not only did they become forgiven, but they even were elevated and became great devotees.
What was the name? Maidanava was in the forest, was that his name?
Arjuna?
What's the demigod? Of fire.
Agni?
Yeah, Agni, he wanted to eat the herbs by burning up the Kandava forest. And so he approached Krishna and Arjuna, and then it's all pastime with all the demigods. Indra tried to stop Arjuna from allowing Agni to burn up the forest, but then this Maya Danava came out of the forest and surrendered to Arjuna, and in that way Lord Krishna didn't kill him.
Yeah, there are many examples, so we should keep this in
mind. Prabhupada also paid, like Maharaj Parikshit, he also asked for forgiveness.
Well, yeah, that's another point. Now, at the end here, Prabhupada is saying that before leaving the body, every sensible person should beg forgiveness from others. And we were reading how Prabhupada was begging forgiveness, even though we we don't see it that he was an offender. Isn't it the vision? He was not an offender. But he, out of humility, was thinking of himself as an offender. He said, I became proud. But actually, he didn't become proud. He never became proud. Rather, he was always the most humble in dealing with everyone. But still, he begged for forgiveness. But that's a good example for all of us who really are proud to follow.
I have a question. Because you said King Vaishnava, and in the Bhagavatam, Śrīla Prabhupāda explained that first he should become learned Brahmana, and after that Vaishnava. And this, how to imagine this King Vaishnava?
First we should become Vaishnavas. And then if one becomes a Vaishnava, he automatically becomes a learned Brahmana. Yes, yes, ti bhakti bhagavati kincha sarvaya gunaistatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kato mahat manovratena asato davato bhihi. If one becomes a Vaishnava, how to become a Vaishnava? Serve a Vaishnava. No one can become a Vaishnava without serving another Vaishnava. Chadiya Vaishnava seva nistarapaya chakeva. Take the dust from his feet, bow down and become his assistant. That's what it means to become a disciple. Disciple means he becomes the assistant of a Vaishnava. He becomes an apprentice and he learns how to perform devotional service under the direction of the Vaishnava. Then, by association, he also becomes a Vaishnava.
Is the are the spiritual masters also considered to be non-different from their name? Like someone who's a pure devotee? Or is that only reserved for the Lord?
Well, the spiritual master, yes, is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So, therefore, otherwise chanting his name, we do chant the name of the spiritual master. And he's also, it's like we have Prabhupada's form, he's present in his form. Spiritual master is present in his form and his name. This is by the mercy of Krishna, or by the arrangement of Krishna. He may not be, he doesn't consider himself very special. But because he's carrying the message of Krishna, it's like these names here, these personalities, we're reciting their names in Srimad Bhagavatam. If they were not, if there was nothing transcendental about them, we wouldn't. But because they are devotees, they're great sages, and they're very dear to the Lord, therefore, they're auspicious just to hear their names. Anything in relationship with Krishna becomes purified. There's some chapters in the Bhagavatam where they've listed different descendants of the Yadu dynasty or something, and they say just by reciting these names, one becomes purified. Because there, anything in relationship with Krishna is purified. So certainly the spiritual master is in relationship with Krishna. He has no other standing. That's his only value, is his relationship with Krishna.
Can I just clarify one thing on that? Could you like offer incense and flowers and things like that to the name of the spiritual master if you didn't have a picture?
Well, generally, there are some instances where a devotee, if he doesn't have the deity or the form of the Lord or spiritual master, he can offer in the mind to a form. There's different types of deities made of stone, wood, metal, and also one is in the mind, so you can offer two.
Um, obviously we don't want to be offenders, and maybe in the initial stages of beginning devotional service, you know, more typical to commit offenses then. But anyway, I thought all you had to really do at the time of death was just focus on Krishna 100% with no material desires and all that, and get rid of all the...
You thought?
I didn't know you had to, like, forgive people first. I mean, like, I thought you just... The key to getting...
Well, if you have time, it's a good program. If you have... If you're, you know, slowly dwindling away, there's so many examples, like Parikshit Maharaj, and Bhishma Dev was also, they all came. They're such a great personalities that all these wonderful personalities came there to see them at the last stage. So then they had a good opportunity to beg for forgiveness. If you're so fortunate to have great personalities come to see you at the time of your passing, you can ask for forgiveness for any offenses you may have committed.
And earlier we saw that, we heard in his earlier reading in today's lecture this morning, that a 12-year-old girl gave birth, so I'm wondering, I mean, I know that...
She was pregnant.
The baby was aborted, I mean...
Well, no, kind of young, she said she was pregnant at 12.
That's kind of young to be getting pregnant, though. I mean, I didn't even know the female body could get pregnant at the age of 12.
Well, you probably won't have to worry about it too much.
Well, I'm just trying to, like...
Because in this age...
People change mythology, so...
In this age, generally, girls are not getting married so young.
So it's a different age.
No, I'm saying generally, in this age, girls are not getting married at that age. So, but formerly, sometimes, 12, 13, they can produce children. It's not something anti-biological. It's a biological fact that sometimes it can happen. Even in the ordinary world, sometimes these things happen.
And
there's nothing extraordinary exclusive to the Bhagavatam.
And then this, I mean, you know, I believe everything myself personally, but it's a little bit, because sometimes people say it's mythological and everything, but we heard this gentleman swallowed all the water in the world. He, you know, gulped it all up, so that's kind of all that maybe...
Well, he put it out again.
He's referring to the material world or just earth or what?
Luckily, he brought it back out again. Yeah, again, swallowing, we're thinking this is such a big amount of water, this universe. But just like, for example, a little ant, if he comes up to a little puddle of water, he thinks, it's like the ocean. And then a dog comes and sips it up in 1 second. Or an elephant can guzzle down, you know, a huge bucket of water. So it's all dependent upon the size of the body and the capabilities. One more.
Oh, just a comment. From a yacht and Arya Siddhant. I met a doctor. He does X-ray in hospital in New York. He told me that regularly there's a regular amount of young girls, 12, 10, 9 years old, going there getting abortions every month.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shishigarni Dai Ki Jai.
But they are...